with the book of Mark. The 14th chapter, I want to read two verses. It said, but he began to curse and to swear. It's talking about Peter there at the Caiaphas court. But he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice, three times. And when he thought thereon, he wept. He wept. Now give me Mark chapter 16. And when they looked and they saw that the stone was rolled away. I don't think I got enough room there. That they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And he said unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell the disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into, somebody help me, who's got the Bible? Into Galilee, I thought that's what it says. God bless you, may be seated. Tell the disciples and Peter. Now, this may be a little different this morning, but this is what I feel in my heart. Have you ever blown it? I'm not talking about just, messed things up, made a mistake. I'm talking about really blown it. Absolutely, it seemed like at times, there's been times in my life that I didn't think it would ever be put back together again. I thought if I had done this, if I'd done that, shoulda, coulda, woulda, but I didn't, and there I am, in trouble again. You see, the problem with us is this, that we kind of get a bad theology and we don't really get the real concept of the whole thought and the big picture of Jesus and the shed blood of Christ. Until when we live our lives, guess what? We fall short. Every day we fall short. You can say amen, or you can say it's the guy beside me, or don't matter, but you do. That's not an excuse. I'm not trying to make excuses. The Bible doesn't make excuses. Jesus is not making excuses. Paul never made excuses. But still yet, a reality is a reality. There's a word, there's a phrase they say in the world. It's a, keep it real, brother. Keep it real. And you know what? We need to keep it real because we do mess up sometimes. Maybe all the time, but thank God for sometimes. Now, in my day, when I was a kid, my favorite baseball player was Pete Rose. Matter of fact, I tried to hit the ball like Pete Rose. I slid like Pete Rose. I wore my hair like Pete Rose. Just didn't gamble like Pete Rose. But anyhow, back in them days, I probably did. But nevertheless, there's a lot of controversy today. And I mentioned this to somebody that the sermon title, For Pete's Sake, Another Chance, and they say, you're talking about Pete Rose? No, this is not about Pete Rose today, okay? This is about another Pete. Peter. Simon Peter. It's not about whether Pete Rose goes into the Hall of Fame, because it's not about the Hall of Fame, it's about the Hall of Shame. And the Hall of Shame, we find Peter. One dark night in the life of Peter, he failed the Lord. Now you got to ask yourself this question. When you fail the Lord, what do you do? When you've blown it, when you've just messed things up, and it seemed like it's irreplaceable or you can't put it back together again, what do you do? Well, I'm going to tell you in just a moment, but I want you to understand something. Every day we stand on the precipice of a new life. Every day you stand on the precipice, you stand right on the edge of a new life and a new beginning. And a new beginning is this, that I can do today all things through Christ Jesus which strengthens me. And maybe I failed yesterday, and maybe I failed this week, and for some you failed this week, and I don't know that positively, but I feel it in my heart, that you have failed. And in your failure, you feel like that you're done. But I got news for you. You're never done because God has power to forgive, and I want to forgive. The Bible said he that overcometh in 1 John, he that is born of God overcometh the world. Now see, I was raised up with a theology. I say raised up when I got saved and started going to church. And I joined these crazy people called the Pentecostals. And boy, they were slamming, you know, the Baptists back in those days. Oh, they believe this, they believe that. Well, you know, there's something they do believe that's right. It's called security. And I learned in those formative years of my life that the Pentecostal folks, they didn't really have a lot of security. They had this unbelief, or this idea that one little bit of unbelief will cause them to miss it. Somebody thinks, well, you know, if I think a bad thought, the rapture comes, I'm going to miss it. If I say a bad word and Jesus comes, I'm going to miss it. And they live every day like a roller coaster. Every day, from one day to the next, they don't know if they're saved, they don't know if they're lost, they don't know, you know, if they're going to make it, and they live under this condemnation. But it says, he that is born of God overcometh the world. Now, here's the deal. I was taught that in that overcoming, I was the one that was doing the overcoming. I was the one, you know, I'm just going to take you way back here, okay? I was the one, if I didn't watch TV, if my wife didn't wear pants. Well, you don't know nothing about that, do you? You know, if I do this, if I don't do that, if I think a bad thought, you know, it's me. I'm fighting it every day. Not saying you shouldn't fight the flesh, and you should. It's going to be a tension, always going to be a tension between the world, the flesh, and the devil, okay? And I got bad news for you, which is also good news, and that is the bad news is it's never going to stop. If you're a Christian, you live for God every day, you're going to have that battle in your life. You're going to see things you want to look at. You're going to think about things you want to think about. You want to do things you want to do. And it's always going to be a tension there. Not until we get released from this world and he changes us in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. But the key word is change us. And it's not just our body that he changes. It is us that he changes. No more temptation. No more falling to sin. No more failing God. You will be forever and ever perfect in the presence of God. But that's the good news. The bad news is not until he comes. But the good news is you're just as safe now as when Jesus comes. Why? Because he that is born of God overcomes the world. And the true context of that scripture is, if you read the whole thing, we went through 1 John. Took us a while, but we got through it. But let me tell you something, and for those that missed it, he that overcometh means that you've been born of God. If you've been born of God, you overcome the world. If you're born again, you've overcome the world. It's not you clawing it out. It's not you hanging on with everything you got. It's not like Noah, you know, he was put in the ark. He went in the ark. They got in the judgment of the storm. Can't you see Noah? I'm just hanging on to the end. And no, he was safe in the ark. And I got good news for you. We are safe in Jesus Christ. We've been born of God. If you've never been born again, you got problems. You're in trouble. But if you've been born again, the power to overcome the world, sin, and the flesh, it comes from being covered by the blood. And so God doesn't see us how we really are. He sees us what we're going to be, and he sees us through the eyes of our Savior. Amen. That's security. Whether I wake or whether I sleep, I know I'm in Jesus. Whether I hit you between the eyes because you looked at me wrong, I'm in Jesus. Then I ask you to forgive me. I'm a Christian. I didn't mean to hit you like that. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Amen. But see, we don't get it. This is a good example right here with all this water. See, let me give the story about this water. See, somebody's trying to be funny. Because see, last Sunday night, Sister Cindy wasn't here. I didn't have no water. I like to choke to death up here. And then I really gave it to her when I saw her next time. And so, in her condemnation, in her feeling so guilty, she thought she would do some good works here and bring me more water. A month's supply. But what I'm saying is, her bringing this water doesn't change anything. She still failed. She missed it. Missed her opportunity. And by bringing this good works here, she thinks, this is not planned. I want you to know that she didn't know I was going to use her here. I didn't either until I saw it. But nevertheless, she thought by doing some good works here would make me feel better and I would forgive her for not bringing me some water and almost choking to death. But you know what? She didn't have to do that. I've already forgiven her. What do? We fail God and we mess up and we don't do what we're supposed to do, and then we try to do all these good things to make God feel, make him feel better about us, and you know, that's not a joke. Now this is a joke, but that's not a joke. We try to do that. If I can just do that, if I can just give a little more money, if I can give help a poor person, if I can do these good works, if I can go to, you know, all these things, but those things are not what pleases God. You know what pleases God? The blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God, but blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. We have overcome the world because we have been born of God. And you know what? If you failed, guess what? Get up. You get another chance. You get another chance. If you were to enter a jewelry store and ask to see some cut, just a cut, you know, diamonds in a row, the jeweler would spread them out on a black cloth, possibly black velvet. And the reason that he does that is so the black background, the blacker it is, the better, because those diamonds are clear and they're distinctive and they're brilliant. And if you put them on, the darker the background, the more brilliance is brought out of the diamond. Amen. And so God gives us his best against the best of his power, the best of his forgiveness, the best of his mercy on the backdrop of the darkest night in Peter's life. He failed the Lord. He was the one that popped his mouth off before and said, I'll die with you, Lord. Yeah, I'll die with you. Get behind me, Satan. What? I'm trying to do something for you, Lord. I'm going to die. He didn't die for Jesus. And I've been there to Caiaphas Court, and they got a little statue there of the little girl asking Peter, and Peter's, you know, he cusses. He trash talks. He failed. I'd die for you. I don't know him. I don't have a clue who he is. No, I don't know him. I'm sorry. But you see, that was the darkest night of his life. And it says that he went out and he wept. I'll get to that in a minute. He went out and he wept. As a matter of fact, the scripture says in Matthew and Luke that he wept. Bitterly. Broke his heart. Have you ever wept bitterly? I'm talking about your soul is wretched and he was guilty, and in his mind he could never, ever, ever take it back. It's over, man. He blew it. It's over. And so he wept all night. But let me tell you, he wept all night, as the scripture says in Psalms, weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And guess what? Joy came
in the morning, on resurrection morning, just a few days later, 3 days or 4 days later, he came to the tomb and found that Jesus was gone. You see, it was weeping at night, but it was joy in the morning. And when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he said, I've forgiven Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Give him a special message. Aren't you glad God looks at us special? Every one of us are special in his eyes. And every one of us, he deals with us on a level that we can understand, and he understands us more than we understand ourselves, and he sees way beyond what we can see. And you go tell my disciples and Peter, because see, Peter blew it, and Peter, he just kind of, you know, he's feeling like he needs to throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel, Peter, because I got good news for you. You've been forgiven of that. Can you imagine what Peter felt like? He was still probably grieved in his heart over what he did, and they broke in there and said, he's alive. And guess what? They told me to come tell you, Peter, that he's risen. He used my name personally. I thought he probably forgot about me, because I forgot about him that night. I didn't look up and I denied him, but he didn't deny me. No, he never denies us. If we walk in him, if we live in Christ, if we're covered by the blood, if we live in this way and born of God, we are the overcomers of this world. Go tell my disciples and Peter. And Peter. I got a special message for him. God's got a special message for you too. You blew it? Well, go tell LifePoint and I can use a lot of names this morning. And Guy. Amen. And here's another powerful scripture. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. In other words, if you don't know the law, then you don't know you've offended it. If you don't have a stop sign, all right, yeah, if you don't have a stop sign, it's good enough. And you just run through the intersection, you don't have a stop sign, you don't have a law, you didn't know that you broke the law. Could be on the books, but you don't know you broke it until it's shown to you the law. And so the law came in that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, see, the more law it shows us, the more we read the Old Testament, and the more we understand it, you can't live by the law, because if you miss it in one point, you miss it in everything, and we've all missed it somewhere and allwhere, and we're all sinners in the sight of God. I don't care how pure we are. I don't care how holy you think you are. I don't care, you know, how you were raised, or maybe you think you've never sinned in all your life. Well, I got news for you. You're not Jesus, okay? And the news is this. The Old Testament came, and the more we read the Old Testament, the more we realize that, man, it's getting darker and darker and darker, and sin, my sin is worse than I thought it was. My condition is worse than I thought it was. Where sin did abound, the grace of God did much more abound. That means as dark as it may get, thank God for the light of the word. As deep as we may fall, he'll pull us up farther than the distance that we fell, because he is grace in the flesh. Grace did abound much more through Jesus Christ. Come to tell us we're forgiven. We come to tell us we're forgiven. So here, the darker the backdrop of sin, the brighter the grace of God is what it's saying. It's what I said a moment ago. It's like the dark night. In a dark, dark night, the stars shine brighter, don't they? You stay in the city, you can't see them. You get out in the country, you see more. This one guy took his girlfriend out, and you know, they're sitting there looking up at the star. Thought he'd impress her a little bit. So he thought he'd wax eloquent. My, he says, aren't the stars out in abundance tonight? She looked up and said, yeah, there's a whole lot of them too. Okay. Science has proved that our acts, our words, and even our thoughts make their indelible record, never to be wiped away. Huh? A few years ago, I heard on a record, it was a vinyl record, I heard the voice of D.L. Moody. It was one of the only recordings they ever had of D.L. Moody. but heard it. A man that had been dead for years. I was amazed, blessed, even though his voice has been stilled in death, silent in death, I still got to hear it. It's indelibly marked in this world. See, everything is being written down. Everything is being recorded. In the British Museum, there's a piece of stone not larger than the average Bible, about this size right here. And they say it's at least 4,000 years old. And in the center of the stone, there's a footprint of a bird 4,000 years ago. There's the mark of a bird's foot in the stone. You see, 4,000 years have passed. The mark was made and it's still there. It's still there. I've heard the inauguration of John F. Kennedy. That's not what you can do for your country. I hadn't listened to it enough, have I? That's not what your country can do for you. But what you can do for your country. I can't do that. I can do John Wayne, but I can't do John F. Kennedy, okay? Well, that's not what your country can do for you, pilgrim. That's what you can do for your country. Uh-huh. See? How did I see it? I mean, I wasn't even born yet. No. And yet, it took 2 months. It happened 2 months before I was born. And yet I've been able to see it, hear it, experience, because it's recorded and it stands. I've watched a lot of movies of people that are gone now, long gone. Long gone before I ever came. But time and a place has captured it. I've read books of men that are not here today with us, but you know what? Their thoughts outlive them. Their thoughts outlive them. Their physical bodies. What are you saying? I'm saying that every one of us, every sin we ever commit, every bad deed we ever do, everything that we think that's not right and it's not right, and I want you to know, from our youth until we die, is recorded. It'll always stand. It'll always stand. And you've made a record. You're making a record. And you know what? That record will stand against you one day. You're guilty as charged. It's all been caught on tape. It's all been caught on video. It's all been engraved into stone. There's not an act, there's not a feeling, there's not a thought, there's not an imagination that has not been indelibly written down. And as it was written down, it stays. Like the law of the Medes and the Persians, once it was written, it's written. And once we do something, it's forever done. Revelation, let's look at that a minute. I'm going to show you something. Daniel chapter 10 or 7 verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth before him. Thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set. The judgment is set already. This is before it ever happens. You understand what Daniel is seeing? He is seeing the judgment of God. Way back before. Because it hasn't happened yet. But the judgment is set. And the books were opened. They were opened. You see, every sin, it says, every sin. And then John come along and says this. And I saw the dead. He saw it too before it ever happened. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. Same books. Same books that Daniel saw is the same books that John saw. The judgment books are the books that are written down. All of our deeds, all of our thoughts, sins of omission, sins of commission, sins that are absolutely written down, and they'll never get erased. There's no whiteout, okay? There is no whiteout. And once you do it, you did it, and it's done. And it forever will be in the record that you did it, and you're guilty. All of us are guilty. And he opened the books. But look at this. And thank God another book was opened. You better thank God for another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And it goes on to say that if it wasn't found written in the Lamb's book of life, then they were cast into the lake of fire. What's that telling us? It's telling us, yeah, everything's being written down. We're all guilty of all of these things. When we stand at the judgment, they shall appear before us. And sin we have forgotten. Things we have forgotten that we did. All the bad thoughts and everything that, you know, in our lives from we were children, we have forgotten about all those things, but the sins will be remembered because all of them were sins against God, and every one of them will follow you all the days of your life, and it's written in the books. And I want you to understand something. You can't escape that except for there's the good news of the gospel. It's called another book. It's called the book of life, because of another book. I believe, my friend, that other book, everybody written in it, it says, has eternal life. Those are the ones that have overcome the world. We're all guilty. You look at somebody and say, man, he's bad. That's a bad desperado right there. Well, before God, we're all bad desperados. Do you get it? Yeah, you may respect your mother, but he slapped his mother. He's bad. Well, he is, but you know what? You slapped God. You nailed Jesus to the cross. It was your blood, your sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. He didn't die for good people. He died for sinners. He died for the wretched. He died for those that were sinners against God, alienated from God. But blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. In his dying on the cross, he brings us back in fellowship with God. And God does not see us how we were. And God does not see us how we are. But God sees us how we will be. Amen. That's a lot of comfort to me, I'm telling you right now. I seem to get myself in trouble more times than I can count. You're a preacher, I know. Some people just got that nature. Amen. Somebody said, there's a guy coming to talk to you. So what do I do this time? I said, what, are you guilty or what? I said, no, yeah, I am. Amen. I'm guilty. Every one of us. The Bible said that the wicked flee when no man pursueth him. That means he's looking over his back. He's paranoid. He's always looking over his back. You know, are they going to get me? And I know people like that. But you know what? In the real sense of the word, we're all like that. We just know who we are. We know how we've lived. We know how unfaithful we've been. We know that we haven't been as steady as everybody thinks we have been. And we know we're going to stand before God. Thank God for the other book. Amen. In that book wipes everything else away. I don't know if I gave you another, if I got another scripture here or not. Yeah, Isaiah chapter 43, 25 and 26. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake. For my own sake, he said. For Pete's sake, another chance. God says, for my sake. I will not remember your sins. Put in remembrance. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. I underlined that. Declare thou that thou mayest be, somebody help me, justified, just as though we'd never sinned. He's the one that blots it out. He's the one that forgives us. Years and years ago, during the dark days, the dark ages, two monks One the senior, one the junior, were on their way to the Abbey to eventually get to the sanctuary. On their way, walking together, the monk and his protege, he noticed that the young monk was distant from him. He noticed when he would try to converse in conversation that the young monk didn't have a lot to say. He knew something was wrong. By the time they got to the abbey, it was complete silence. Before they walked through, the old monk said, "Tell me, son, what's wrong?" He said, "Sir, I can't tell you what's wrong." He said, "Son, please tell me what's wrong. I know something's wrong. I've lived long enough to know that that there's something going on in your life that you need to tell me about." He said, "Sir, I'll tell you." He said, I'm guilty." He said, "A few nights ago, I was tempted, and I slept with a woman, and I broke my vow of celibacy." He thought that would be the end of it, but the old monk said, "Wait a minute. I tell you what we're going to do. What we'll do is this. We're going to go in together. We'll go into the abbey, then we'll go into the sanctuary, we'll go to the altar, and we'll kneel together, and we'll both ask God to forgive us." He said, "That way only God will know who's the guilty one. No one else will." You see, that's what Jesus is saying. He became guilty for us. All of our sin was poured on Him. He became poor that we might be rich in heaven. I'm not even going to go there. In heaven. He died for the sinner, that the sinner could be a saint, that we could be a son and a daughter, and we could be in fellowship with God, heirs with God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He said, "Let's go in together. Let's go together. I'll blot your sins out and we'll do it together." And Jesus died for our sins. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that He just died and our sin. It means that He took our sin, all of our sin, on Him. That's why we ought to be a little more alive when it comes to worship, praise, glory. "It's just not in my nature." Well, then you probably don't know what it's like to be forgiven. Amen. You see, all of the changes of time, the efforts of men cannot wipe out those things. They're in the book. The judgment is set. The books are recording it. But another book. Praise God. Praise God. You see, we've sinned, and we're afraid to approach God. Anybody says they're not, they're not for real men. They're lying to you. Anybody in the deepest part of their soul understands that we are such failures. We are such mess-ups. We've got so many problems, hang-ups, more hang-ups than AT&T. But blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We've sinned. We're afraid to approach God. We see Him almost as an enemy. But it says, but if we confess our sin, He becomes our friend. And like the monk, He walks with us and He talks with us. And we walk in together to the throne of grace, and we find grace, not condemnation. We find mercy and not punishment. We find heaven and not hell. Thank God for Jesus, because we're with Him. Say one day you're at your house and somebody knocks on the door. You open the door, it's a kid. But he's the same age as your son is. "Hey, you say, who are you?" "Well, I'm so-and-so."
What do you need? Well, I just knocked on your door. I'd like to come in and eat some of your food. Lay on your couch. Sleep in one of your beds.
You say, hold it just a minute. I'll get back with you in just a minute. Shut the door. Then you go get your gun. Probably. Amen. You wouldn't let the guy in. Would you? Would you?
I'm not talking about somebody that isn't in need. I'm just talking about, well, he wants to come in, eat your food, and watch your TV. Hey, Pops, throw me the remote control. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. However, if that same boy were to show up with your son, you wouldn't think nothing of it. He still wouldn't get the remote control, but he could eat the food, he could sleep on the couch, he could sleep in the bed, he could watch the TV if he likes to watch what I watch, but nevertheless, what's the difference? Same boy. The difference is the relationship that he has with your son. The difference is he's your son's friend. You trust your son. You trust your son, so you trust him. Amen. You see, we're welcome because we've become friends with the Son. Before, when we knocked on heaven's door, gate, and grace, and we couldn't boldly go into the throne of grace. Matter of fact, if we went into the Holy of Holies, we'd die, man. You can't go in there and live. But let me tell you something. The veil was rent. Why? Because the Son of God died for our sins. And now we can boldly approach the throne of God. Why? Because he goes in with us. It's not just us going in. We're not all by ourselves. We have a mediator. We have a lawyer. We have a friend. We have a savior, if you please. And we have all access to the Father. Father, because he's with us, or rather we're with him. See, Peter missed his chance, his first chance. He failed the Lord miserably, and he suffered plenty. But Christ did not disavow him. Go tell my disciples and Peter. Go tell him I got a new assignment for him. I've got some fresh orders. Tell him he has a future. Tell him I'm going to give him another chance. Come back to the instruments. A little girl was carrying a bottle of milk across the street. Well, she fell down and broke the bottle. A neighbor was watching on the front porch, and she shouted out, "Hey, your mother is going to spank you." The little girl looked up, all that broken glass and shed milk, and said, no. My mama always gives me another chance. That's what love does. Amen. Matter of fact, I came home one day, not long ago, and my oldest granddaughter, she's not in here, so I won't embarrass her, okay? And she's a pitcher. She plays softball. And I came in, and Kalita came, and here comes Brooklyn. Brooklyn, she just looks like she's about ready to break. I said, "What is going on here?" She said, "Tell Papa." I said, "What? What is it, baby?" And she just busted out crying. "Papa, I broke your window." Man, that made me feel good. I thought, "Whew!" I didn't know what they were gonna say. I ain't worried about no broken window. I was going to say, drop something on your stain. Now, that's different. I would have been a little bit more, been different. No, but anyhow, I looked in the eyes of my little granddaughter with all the love I have and said, "Baby, I ain't worried about that. You know what? In my life, I broke a few windows, too. I broke more than a few windows. Tires. Baby, I know accidents happen." And she's still crying, and I said, "Come here." Put my arms around her. I said, "Baby, I ain't worried about that window. I love you.
I love you more than some old window. I can replace the window, but you're my girl, and I love you.
Can I tell you, that's what Jesus does for us. Yeah, we think we really messed up and blew it. He already knew he was going to do it before you did it. You know that?
He already told Peter he was going to do it before he did it.
If he already knew, you know, like us, we would have said, listen, Peter, you're popping your big mouth off again. I'm getting sick and tired of your big mouth. And I'm telling you what, you're going to deny me three times. Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Matter of fact, no, you're not. You're just going. I don't even want you now. Get out of my face. You make me sick. See, that's what people think God is like. God's not like that. He told Peter before he was going to do it that he was going to do it. And he did it just like Jesus said he would do it. And guess what? Everything in your life, God already knew what you was going to do before you did it. That's not excuses. That's not to go out here and say, well, praise God, I can sin, live for the devil. No, you live for the devil, you can go to hell. But when you mess up, confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. And then those that we don't remember, I got good news for you. There were sacrifices in the Old Testament for sins you didn't even know you committed. Did you know that? Yeah, and every sacrifice in the Old Testament is a symbol of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Every sin you can't even know or you don't even remember, you don't know you even committed, they're forgiven too. Amen. Amen. Sometimes the Lord does spank us, I'm going to be honest with you. He chastened Peter. Peter wept. But he always gives us another chance. Not just a chance to be saved after death, but a chance in life. I think of Peter after the trip. In the book of John, Jesus specifically told Peter and the disciples to go into Galilee. And said, I'll meet you there. When we get to it, it's really rich, but Peter said, I go fishing. Now, he wasn't saying, I'm going fishing, like, you know, I'm going to go fishing for the day, guys. You want to go with me? No, he was saying, I'm going back to my fishing. I'm going back to my fishing. And he's out there fishing. Wasn't where Jesus told him to be. That in itself, he already failed Jesus again. He didn't obey the Lord again. Jesus said, have you any meat? He said, we've toiled all night. We caught nothing. Because anything we start without him ends with nothing. And if you started, he didn't tell Peter to go fishing. He told Peter to go to a mountain and wait. But he didn't go there. He disobeyed the Lord. He failed the Lord again. And anytime you try to do something and you disobey God, guess what? You're going to come up empty-handed too. You really are. And then came Jesus' command, depart. When he said that, he heard Jesus say that. And then Peter remembered something, because this happened twice. At the beginning of his ministry and now after his resurrection. And all of a sudden he remembered. I remember this happened before. Cast their nets and they caught so many fish they didn't know what to do with them. What did Peter say? Peter's words were, depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. I'm a sinful man. Why did I fail you again? I promise you I'd never do it again, and I did it again. Why? Did the Lord say, well, that's it. That's it, Peter. It's over. No, no, no. God didn't give up on him. God never gave up on Peter. He said, henceforth you shall catch men. He offered him a greater chance. And yeah, after the denial came another chance. And on the day of Pentecost, they were in place in one mind and all in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and it said that the cloven tongue sat down upon them, and they all spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. You go a little bit further, everybody said, what meaneth this? What's going on up in here, you know? And Peter, it said, but Peter, standing up with the 11, said, this is not what you suppose. These men are not drunk as you suppose. He said, it's not what you think. This is what he was talking about. He went from denial all the way from denial all the way to Pentecost, to a greater chance, a greater opportunity, because God gave him the power to do so. So if you failed, if you feel like you've blown it, the good news is you got another chance. Amen. And I'm going to say this: you'll never please the devil more than to quit. Because I think my mic went out. I think the devil just cut it out on purpose. You lying devil, I'll say it again. I said, you'll never please the devil more than to quit because you failed. But let me tell you something, nothing pleases God more for you to get up, to go on, because there'll be another chance. Go tell Peter. Go tell all my disciples and tell Peter. Thank God he loves us. Thank God he's there. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for the grace of God.